Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I could.
Hello. President Trump reportedly grew frustrated during immigration discussions in the Oval Office Thursday and responded with an expletive. According to the Washington Post, the president complained about the U.S. taking immigrants from African countries in Haiti. Mr. Trump asked why people from those countries were coming to America.
Coincidence or capitalism? Strange incidents or imperialism? Is it happenstance? How many white folks' faces happen to be seen as saviors? Some may call it conspiracy theory. However, logically speaking, one could just take a brief look at history. World gangsters and banksters front like they philanthropists. The same motherfuckers that's been concentrating on conquering us, play like they suddenly give a fuck about us. The Red Cross and other U.S.-controlled crime bosses exploiting our emotions and capitalizing off our crimes. See, it's big business in bearing black bodies. In other words, some motherfuckers benefit every time one of us dies. You see, the system has written the script, and it's how it's supposed to go. We kumbaya our ass in the cask and dance to our damn death, while preachers, politicians, and pied pipers tell us to bow our heads and close our eyes and surrender, oh surrender, till you have another damn thing left. They shoot us, then display us as looters. Then they break in the UN and the rest of the U.S. friends. Black water forces who now go under the new name of Z, whom like a fatal disease, once they get in, they'll never plan on leaving. With friends like these, who in the fuck needs enemies? Now see, like every time they fuck us, we forgive them. And when they don't kill us and just capture us, we somehow, some twisted form of fashion, thank them for letting us live. Through their policies, practices, and propaganda, they've even duped us to believe that everything that's happening bad to black folks is because of some of the shit that we done did. Or even more sinister and deeper than that, they done damn it declared, as a matter of fact, that God himself been determined to do us in. Katrina ain't killed nobody, America did. For it's time that we get credit where credit is due. And for those of you that say he comes again, blaming the government and white folks, I say goddamn if the crime fix, lace up the motherfucking shoes. Rupert Murdoch, Fox, and the rest of them media motherfuckers who control them idiot boxes ain't nothing but another division of the pigs. Whose directive is to be sure to force-feed us nothing but falsehood and hogwash. This shit's so sickening, seeing the images on how they be portraying us. They're the same ones that's coming to slay us, putting out to the world, goddamn it, they coming to save us.
President Trump tonight ignoring questions. His outrage grows after his vulgar insult calling African nations assholes. Assholes. Assholes.
Haiti, the land of my brother man and my sister woman. Now the ones that kicked Napoleon's ass. The land of sugarcane and Africans. The land in which they enslaved and votes. The ones that the International Monetary Fund left with a debt in order to keep them broke. The country in which in 1983 a despot by the name of Duvalier was validated by the Pope. The land in which machetes met the gringo's throat. And the ones that provided inspiration to the black folks throughout the globe in 1804. The ones that imperialists have never forgiven for committing the quote-unquote crime of refusing to be colonized. The land in which the women who were forced to be bedwarmers took master the bed and the grave and guaranteed, goddammit, to never again would he get up. The sons and daughters who went without water for days and days under the concrete never gave up. Some have viewed you as simply a slave stock. However, through the eyes of the colonized and international struggle for independence, you, with the minimum, have given us such a lot. Like surgical strikes, the mamas and papas I did away with. And as in the case of the Aborigines in Australia, we become forced to witness our children become open season for white folks' pickings.
President Trump reportedly grew frustrated during immigration discussions in the Oval Office Thursday and responded with an expletive. According to the Washington Post, the president complained about the U.S. taking immigrants from African countries in Haiti. Mr. Trump asked why people from those countries were coming to America.
And let's be perfectly clear that inclusive in they is the United States. Have attempted to do you in through dope, disease, debt, and dictators. You have been boldly denied entry into this country, while you have literally seen the easy entries of your more fair-skinned neighbors. Now the same ones that produced the Papa Doc and Baby Doc, hard as it may be to believe, got their hands on some of the technologies that could child's play. We're creating earthquakes and aftershocks. Guns, grenades, malaria, AIDS, and other chemical agents, and weather warfare. Now, let's just name a few of the tools they done used. Now, your mind will be blown if you get them to know the motives of those that have interest in the population control. In fact, in the spirit of modern-day slavery, they see the world as a stock market in which you are viewed as a share. Many of us couldn't even imagine the motives of these motherfuckers and their mass murderers. Like, why would the World Health Organization implement practices in order to decrease the world population? And how does China, Great Britain, America, and our allies benefit of there being tragedies and devastation? Nah, if this appears to be merely nothing but ancient history, what powers that be? Was it got them not too long ago that kicked in the doors and blatantly told the former president in Haiti to leave? And what system and interest of mass murder made mass victims and had them sniffing formaldehyde in FEMA trailers that would get them in nothing more than modern-day gas chambers in New Orleans?
President Trump tonight ignoring questions as outrage grows after his bolder insult calling African nations assholes.
In Haiti, was it coincidentally that initially the Israelis were the only entity with the ability to operate a medical facility? And who was it that deemed that across seas with the Iraqi, that a former VP by the name of Dick Cheney and his cohort from Halliburton controlled all of the contracts and had previously had run the same racket domestically down in New Orleans? When Napoleon's brother-in-law, Leclerc, sent word to the resistance to relinquish their swords, Jean-Jacques Dessalines sent back the following words. Coup d'etat pour le quai. In other words, this is what he had to say. Up with their heads and burn their houses.
Camera left, Fred Hampton, H-A-M-P-T-O-N, Deputy Chairman of the Illinois Panther Party. Camera right, David Hilliard, H-I-L-L-I-A-R-D, Chief of Staff, National Black Panther Party. Gentlemen, what do you think the demonstrations on the first day of the trial accomplished?
I think that they were very educational in the sense that they exposed further the fascist characteristics of the courts in racist America. What happened to Bobby today was very characteristic of Nazi Germany. The judge, Julius J. Hoffman, is the champion of fascism. The man is a mechanical fascist in a robe. He's a lunatic, and he needs to be removed from the court system.
Well, those are words. I mean, specifically, what is it that's bothering you about the judge and what happened in the courtroom?
First of all, the man is an old, senile fascist, as I mentioned. He's not a man that's capable of rendering any justifiable decisions in anybody's regards. I think he's proved that many times. So we see that the only possible way that Bobby can get a fair trial in any courts, not just in Chicago, is by having a jury of his own peers. And that the only justice would definitely be rendered when the people themselves make decisions in regards of revolutionaries.
Are the Panthers concerned with the other seven defendants as well as Bobby Seale? You mentioned Seale's name specifically.
Bobby is our leader, and we're most definitely concerned primarily about Bobby. The other seven defendants were involved in the so-called conspiracy, and we see them as being a very necessary factor in the case. But we're not going to put all of our weight on those individuals. We need our leader. Bobby is the leader not only of the black community, but the man is the leader of the white community too, if those people are talking about moving in a revolutionary fashion. We don't make distinctions between the white and black communities. These people consider themselves revolutionaries, so we say that they will have to react from a revolutionary standpoint of view. We don't support their anarchist strategies that they're so used to exemplifying. But we are concerned about those individuals.
Do you think that there is more that you agree on and disagree on as far as the white, middle-class, radical left and the Panthers?
We'll deal with that.
I think that we agree with a lot of things they do, but I couldn't say it with more things than we disagree with, you know. And when you say that, it's hard to say, and I don't even know if I want to say that really, because that's a hard question to answer because it's not specific enough. You know, there's so many groups. You have to get more specific and talk about specific groups and specific people. Because, like you said, there are a lot of people that are anarchists. We don't support that in any group. And I think that's the criteria we should use for judging people. You know, and I think that's the criteria we have to use for judging organizations, you know, that whether or not they, you know, support the ideology of spontaneity or whether they believe in, you know, revolutionary theory, you know, and putting that revolutionary theory into some type of revolutionary practice. And, you know, but some people don't do that. Those people that don't do that, and not saying whether they're more or less, those people that don't do that, we can't support that. We can't support anarchism on the part of blacks, whites, reds, yellow, anybody else. And I think that a lot of this, what we call anarchism, you know, I think it's, you know, on the borderline, a lot of it is even past the borderline of being a provocation instigated by some of these pigs. Yeah.
I think we should reiterate on your first question. First of all, Bobby, as I stated earlier, is the leader of what people consider a vanguard organization, and that they earned that role not by choice, but through many lives that have been lost as a result of our struggle. So that the other individuals involved in the trial or the conspiracy with Bobby are people that will have to take directions from people that have engaged in struggle and have obtained the vanguard role through their very actions. So the very fact that these individuals are involved in a case with our chairman seems to reflect sometimes that critics from individuals sort of a racist attitude, and that the whole trial could be dangerously damaged if people see it in that light. So we most definitely do not advocate a split to that degree. All we want to do is to make sure that these people get a day in court where they will be judged by a reasonable, sane person and not a lunatic like the judge that he's got, you know.
What you're saying is you expect a conviction.
I'm saying that I expect a conviction not on the merits of the case, but because the man up there is not capable of giving anybody any justice. I think that the reason he's maintained his position so long is because of his kangarooism, because of his ability to railroad people through the court systems. I see that the whole systems of America is being stockpiled with lunatics and psychopaths, with fascists, all the way down from Attorney General Mitchell. And this is what we have to face, and I think it's up to the American public at large.
Hang on, hold on, when we get started.
I think that our position in regards to the other individuals in the trial brings on whether or not they're able to follow decisions handed down by people that are considered as the vanguard. And whether they accept that or not is a matter of fact. And that one of the criteria that they could use for judging whether or not we're the revolutionary vanguard is extended with the invitation to the Algerian cultural festival, whereas only the Black Panther Party was extended invitations out of all the other black organizations in America. So that when these people begin to refuse to follow directions handed down by leaders of the American Revolution, then we see them as being somewhat anarchist.
Well, are you saying that there's a difference in view about tactics, specifically in your relations with the police? In other words, what the radical whites are doing as compared to what the Panthers are doing?
There's a most definite difference. These people oftentimes promote situations where numerous of people are maimed, are brutalized, are killed, and we classify this as being criminal. And criminality is something that we definitely are opposed to, and that's why we take our uncompromising position against the police. So when they move in directions like that, they're actually part in part moving with the forces of repression.
Well, would you say that the demonstration today was in any way a provocation to the police or not?
Yes, I think it was definitely a provocation of the police, you know, because, you see, it was made clear through all the people that spoke for the Black Panther Party that we were down there for one thing and one thing only, to show massive support around Chairman Bobby Seale. And if anything, when there were even a chance, when there was even a chance of an outbreak, the party tried to quell this outbreak with its field marshals and the people that was on the microphone at the time that the outbreak occurred. But even with all of the vigilance that the party had displayed and most of the Black people in the crowd, we still had some anarchists, whatever you want to call them, provocateurs, people that tried to overshadow what we were trying to do down there for Chairman Bobby. And even today, this evening, I found a situation where people in the in Babylon are trying to overshadow some of the good that the Black Panther Party is trying to do. And we're supposed to be opening up a free medical center with absolutely free medical care for the people on 16th and Springfield, west side of Chicago. And a group of people on the west side of Chicago told us that they didn't want us to open that medical center. A group of young people over there. And they didn't give us any logical reasons that they didn't want us to open the medical center except that this area that the medical center was in, quote unquote, they ran it. This was their turf, you know. And what I'm saying is that there's nothing about the medical center that is not good for the people. And we don't know whether we're going to open or not, because we're not going to allow anyone to belittle us or to grab us by our revolutionary coattails and drag us down into humbug and gangbang style of attacking the problem. We're going to open a health clinic, no matter where we open it, we're going to open it, and we think that the people in that community will force these provocateurs and these idiots to allow the health center to be open in that community because it's going to do nothing but good for the people.
Well, specifically with regard to what's been going on around the federal building and what's likely to happen the rest of the week, and even in the future, as long as the trial goes on, what are going to be the tactics that the Panthers advocate? Are there going to be more demonstrations?
We certainly hope to show massive force. We hope to surmount our numbers daily in the same reflection that you saw with the Huey Newton trial. This is one means for educating the people about the conditions the Black people are subjected to within the fascist judiciary system of the United States of America. But I think the high points of what we're talking about could best be summed up by dealing with the criminal situation that we have been subjected to, not just with our coalition with our white counterparts, but more so with the judges, with the people that supposedly run the federal buildings. The federal building is a public facility. We have to obtain permits in order to have people come and witness the terror and the fascism that's being meted out against members of our party. And we're going to stop obtaining permits. The people have a right to be there, and we don't have to beg or ask them to give us approval for checking and seeing how they're passing decisions against our leaders.
What are you suggesting that you're going to do?
We're suggesting that we're going to be there in numbers, whether they like it or not.
Outside the building?
Outside and inside the motherfucker.
You're going to try to go inside the building without passes?
We don't have to have passes to get in there. The building is a public facility. It's supposed to be a building that represents the attitudes and the goodwill of the people. So we're going to make them exemplify that particular area of our Constitution. They cannot lock the doors on us. The people have violated all Bobby's constitutional rights. And we want the masses to be there to judge that situation as it is.
Given the situation as it is, wouldn't this be the kind of provocation that you want to avoid, you say you want to avoid?
We're not going there for any provocation. If people were going to war, I'm most certain that they would have guns and ammunition. We're not coming with any guns. We're coming to watch the so-called authorities of justice carry out their duty. So if there's any actual provocation, the provocation will come from the pigs, like it always is. They're the ones that start the riots. They're the ones that go around with big, long sticks and 357 Magnums whooping people, not the masses. We don't advocate anybody bringing any guns to the federal courthouse, but we do advocate the people assembling there massively to protest their dissatisfaction at the way that they're treating our chairman of the Black Panther Party and the other seven individuals that's involved in the so-called conspiracy, which is very absurd.
Fred, where does the Black Panther Party stand concerning the Weathermen, the SDS?
Good with it. You like to load it?
Yes, sir. Chairman Fremont, we good.
It's feedback. Cutting feedback. Okay, right on. All right, y'all. Y'all, we had a little technical difficulty. We rocking and rolling, man. 929-477-3785. We cross the state lines. You know, so we going through Mississippi. You understand? We talking about what's happening with Tyree Nichols, Mississippi. We talking about the contradictions in regards to up in the ante. You understand? We cannot afford again elementary assessment. Let me know if y'all can hear me. The callers can hear me on the blog talk, Instagram, YouTube, StreamYard, Facebook. I know I get reports that we be fading in and out. So give me a heads up that y'all can hear us loud and clear. In regards to Blog Talk Radio, 929-477-3785, and press 1. Right on. Give me a heads up, okay? Checking in for ATL in the building. Let me know if you can hear us live and direct on the stream yard. You know what I'm saying? Live and direct. Let me know if you okay, Instagram and Facebook. You know what I'm saying? And put the word out. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, take a pause for the calls. And tap somebody and say, hey, man, tune on in. In fact, as we said, club on in with us. You know what I'm saying? As a verb. You have to be a membership of the Black Panther Party Club. But do a little clubbing with us tonight, y'all. Wednesday night. Put on your schedule, y'all. Tap in with us, y'all. It's been a making history, taking history, taping history. 929-477-3785 and press 1 to be heard. Until we cross the state line, we're going to be talking about the Cook County Jail. We're talking about Tyree Nichols in Mississippi. You know what I'm saying? We talk what's going down. Up in the ante, like you said, I had a discussion with some people earlier today, talking about, what about the Black police on us? We need more Black. Let's look at the faces. Look who's involved. The politics, you know what I'm saying? Tyree Nichols, you know what I'm saying? The assault, the attack on his brother in Mississippi, you know what I'm saying? Up the ante, you know what I'm saying? Don't get us wrong. It's beautiful to my whole group of Black people coming together, so on and so forth. But again, we have the heightened contradiction, you know what I'm saying? I mean, in a similar spirit, what you've seen in Black Power movement right here, right in the 60s, right here inside the United States. And do not get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? Man, the contradictions are heightened. Even if you want to use white people, for example, the Civil War, it's about those contradictions, it weighs biological brother against biological brother. You know what I'm saying? You did North Korea, Kim Il-sung, North Korea, they up there. It's okay. Certain dynamics like whose interest, who the South Koreans, who they roll with, Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh and Chiap, you know what I'm saying, up and down, you know what I'm saying? China, you know what I'm saying, with discussions. It wasn't just about, you know what I'm saying, the Red Army, who was with the Kuomintang, all these different dynamics, all who aligned with the British. Now, I know, again, it's idealistic. We said, well, when are we going to all come together? I hate to break the dreams, man, you know what I'm saying, but it ain't happening. You know what I'm saying? No community has had this monolithic, everybody want the same entry, you know what I'm saying? We look for common points of unity, common points of unity. And we talk about, we say politics, food, clothing, and shelter. You know what I'm saying? Who's addressing those basic? We can debate. We can say, okay, what's your astrological sign? That's the basic needs. You know, a lot of times, y'all, when I talk to people, I say, are you all right? Your basic survival needs, food, clothing, shelter, security. You know what I'm saying? We go talk about the different means. Who's addressing this here? Food, clothing, and shelter. People say, I don't understand politics. Survival. You may have to go through some different entrails or, you know, some middle men and middle women, but at the end of the day, your politics is impacted by who feeds you, how you view food, how your clothing, shelter, your security, your mind state. You know what I'm saying? People talk about, you know what I'm saying, man, it's all the same. But it's an old axiom. Let's say a lot of people believe the white man's ice is colder than the black man's ice. The politics of that, you know what I'm saying? It's, again, everything is political. People say, well, no, we just talk about the dynamics. We just talk about security. We just talk about the gun. Ministry of Purdue said, we must even politicize the gun. We made the party. We made the people's gun different from the state's gun. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about different dynamics. Talking about housing. This brother, Tyree Nichols, they say, I think it was 2 minutes. Literally 2 minutes from pulling into his household. 2 minutes. Man, go look at the faces. You know what I'm saying? And look at the dynamics of some of people say, well, all we concerned about how they look, so on and so forth. See this here. Who trained you, who made you, who you identify with, and you know what I'm saying, who is in the tight dog for the system, all that. And that's where you have to up the ante. Heighten the contradictions, you know what I'm saying? So I want you to call in your thoughts on that. What's going on, saying? How you feel in regards to Tyree Nichols, other cases, you know what I'm saying? The deal is, a lot of times people try to minimize and say, well, question, as we fight against racism, going on racist police, whatever the case may be, the deal is power. Power. We are fighting for power over our lives. We are fighting, a lot of people engage in a whole bunch of intellectual masturbation, in other words, a bunch of words and terms and debate about what color the pyramids was, so. We talk about the power to determine the destiny of our lives. You know what I'm saying? And that visionary. Ministry of people say power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in desired manner. To get to your house, you know what I'm saying? You're shooting the dice, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times we get caught up these images, these facades of freedom. As Malcolm X say, America's democracy is an hypocrisy. And this system is so Machiavellian. It gives you these quote-unquote slave success stories. You say, man, well, this person, they get all these resources, and you at a time. When you see it, with it, man, that leash gets pulled back into an athlete, entertainer, rapper, what you can say and what you can't say. You know what I'm saying? The lack of respect for your respective community, you know what I'm saying? And also, a lot of people are subjective. So, well, as long as I do this, as long as I'm straight, as we talk about, I made a comment the other day, similar to the way the white community has filed a lawsuit about how TikTok in particular, social media platforms, has impacted their children. With our community in particular, we're bombarded with, well, man, it's something that we're doing wrong. It all starts in the home. As long as you treat your black children, you cannot negate the damage that Grand Theft Auto alone, and I, you know what I'm saying? And it's embarrassing being oppressed. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you can say, well, my child don't watch that, so on and so forth. It is here. It's a direct correlation to the carjackings in our community. In fact, I want to put a call up for some legal assistance. We want to do a mass mobilization charge the makers of Grand Theft Auto and tap people. So what they got to do with the, you know what they, how you connect that? Everything political. Everything. Go back and look at the video games. When the U.S. was invading Afghanistan, Go look at the video games. They had video games with the Taliban, Al Qaeda. All this in the video game. This is pro. They tell you program. That's the terms they use. So let me touch on that too, amongst other things, y'all. We ride, y'all. We on some Asians. We said we ride. What's happening in Mississippi? What's happening in Oakland, California? Y'all remember the campaign we talked about, which was a template or a microcosm about, y'all said, again, that's the question of shelter. And you have to say, what's to this? Why, y'all said, even different arenas from the bourgeoisie, really the ruling class itself, is acknowledging it. And it's good and bad with that. Some of the good things is, you know what I'm saying, like I told to a brother earlier, they had a shot from this movie that's supposed to come out with Eddie Murphy, Nia Long, some other people, and there was a shot where Eddie Murphy was on the set. It's supposed to be about interracial relationships. And that's a whole, it's a discussion happening now because the ruling class said, okay, now you can talk about this. And Eddie Murphy had a sweater that said, the government murdered Fred Hampton. Now, Chairman Mao said it's terrible, but it's fine. Because you know I was interested in Chairman Fred was assassinated, but just getting that arena for discussion to happen, that's good. However, the deal is you can take that, but never leave these individuals to provide the summation. We have to provide the summation, y'all. Real talk. The newly elected mayor of Los Angeles, California, has said through the door, this is an emergency. So stuff that anybody going through Skid Row and other places has been in the question of housing. And you can go so long and say, well, maybe they didn't pay their rent, maybe they just lazy. You can run this jive so long. You know what I'm saying? Again, because they have certain communities, we have to hold the line even when it's not popular. We held the line. We've been consistent with the line. We're talking about miles of housing. We're talking about the campaign to save the Hampton House. Not doing it in a subjective way. In other words, just talking about, as long as I get a house, heightening the politics of heightening the contradiction, not just with that particular case, not just that particular entity. In other words, how the community is impacted. Similar to what Tupac said about Brenda got a baby. Cats said, well, what that guy said, how does that, they had a dialogue. Listen to the song Tupac, Brenda's got a baby. Other guys say, well, what that got to do with me? They really, that's what Castle was actually saying. We talking about housing. A lot of people say, well, they, you know, how did not having a house, how did it impact me? And that's one of the tactics of the system, how you subjugate it to individuality. You know what I'm saying? In fact, Nixon had a whole campaign, me, I. You hit terms like community. You dismantle that. One of America's policies is to create chaos and restore order. We moving the groove, y'all. 929-477-3785. What's man? Hey, put it in those historical and political context. Oakland, California, birthplace of the Black Panther Party. First of all, you know what I'm saying? So if you don't know what the state know, what type of soil they're dealing with, you know what I'm saying? It's man. You look at certain man. They all this new discussion about DNA, they can tell you your background in certain locations where certain forces be there. They know the potential Oakland. The state knows the history of Oakland. Knows the potential Oakland. It's like a touch of water. Like on certain people, it's a touch of water. It's back to life. This is brother who I got a lot of respect for. We used to make jokes about him. He's cut up. You know what I'm saying? He's been working out, you know what I'm saying? He did a lot of prison time. And sometimes when he get out on the streets, he would be, listen to this word, y'all, demoralized. Not no dope fiend, strong beer, none of that. Demoralized. But all he had to do was say, this cat was a go-getter. And I would tell all the young guys who didn't know, I say, man, don't get him pussy. He going through some struggles. There's some lows he going through. But this cat, the essence of him, this is a go-getter, man. And sometimes they had to learn the hard way. Oakland. Man, we go through political ups and downs in these different locations. You know what I'm talking about? You best believe this system is never forgot, and they will never forget that geographically small location that shook the world, that political giant that shook the world, y'all. So you start talking anything that you can go through certain locations, even the most even individuals in the most lower stages or certain locations. Oh, they just get high over there, whatever. you can, the political dynamics is intertwined in that. You know what I'm saying? We want to talk about this here. What's to this here? Why you know what I'm saying? We said, well, maybe the system ain't got, they don't, you know, and they don't have to, they don't have the resources to house people, so on and so forth. We've seen in Chicago right now. We're seeing it right now when people are calling certain contradictions. We're right here in Woodlawn with the Mayor Lightfoot administration, how all of a sudden they open up a whole school and convert it to housing for people. You know what I'm saying? In contrast, children, the Chicago broke American history records. They closed over 50 schools at one time. You, the conscious of people can't get housing. In fact, the public school system, Chicago has one of the highest number of homeless children. So people talk about all the children that start working, studying harder, it starts in the home, they ain't got no homes. But you've seen with certain political, timing. You see everything, politics is like real estate, time and location, all that. You look at the time when El Chapo's son supposed to get locked up, right before the Biden come to Mexico. You look at the timing when all of a sudden this building in Woodlawn gets open for housing. Look at the timing when certain legislation get passed about who can enter the country, who can't enter the country. You look at the you look through California in general. On one hand, the blatant contrast. You know what I'm saying? The resource to allocate. You know what I'm saying? You say, wait a minute. You can correlate to this. I use this example a number of times. You go order. A waffle, a Big Mac from Burger King or McDonald's, you know what I'm saying? It ordered wrong. Say, no, I didn't order tomatoes. Then take it back. Logically, you would think, okay, I'm not gonna give it away. They cannot give it. I remember it's probably being locked up 1989. Yeah, because I remember it was right after the death of Minister UEP Newton. I remember shouting my political teeth on certain campaigns. I remember the work we put in to getting houses, you know what I'm saying, to get homes for people. And I remember they would wait till we get through doing it, then they would come through, the state would come through and bat on us, you know what I'm saying, like lock us up, like real talk. And you keep trying to make sense out of this here. You keep trying to make sense out of capitalism. You say this what it was designed to do. Obviously, I can't believe why they don't award people who really can stop crying. Why they don't acknowledge people who really can, you know, send doing some like home or housing people. And the deal is what is birthed from. It was birthed on its kidnappings, enslaving of African people. This is the system. A lot of people have this look on their face. They be surprised. I can't believe that we're trying this. You know what I'm saying? We come through the door clear, cognizant. Like, people have a look on their face, kind of like in that movie, TV show, The Sopranos. The guy, Tony Soprano, was sweating, was taxing. The wife was friends with Tony Soprano's wife, the mafia. And the guy said, Tony, I can't believe this, man. Why you doing this to me? You know what I'm saying? My business, man. I thought you was friends. Tony Soprano said, what do you think the mafia is? What is your definition of the mafia? What is the definition of this system? What is it designed to do? And again, you look at, you know what I'm saying, those who contend, you know what I'm saying, the word that's had on the ground, is an imperative part of heightening the contradictions, y'all. We live on the record 929-477-7385. I'm getting this cup of coffee right now, y'all. I need y'all to tap in. Come on in the radio. See what is, you know what I'm saying? I can't click over right now and put my volume up. Tap in. Bring me my call in if I get a call in queue. Instagram. I'm about to cut Instagram up for 1 second and bring it back because I know I lost my volume. When the calls come in, I lose my volume. Let me know if y'all can see me on Instagram. Let me know. Can y'all see me on Instagram? That's, give me a heads up. Good sound. I know it. Okay, I'm clicking off and bring it right back on. Okay, 1 second. I knew the sound was gonna be off. Okay. I'm getting a cup of coffee. Bring my coffee.
Y'all ever wonder why we different from the motherfuckers? That these fraud-ass philanthropists, these counterfeit-ass charities have no problem coming down to support us? Yeah, you wonder. If nothing else but in your subconscious. In the back of your mind, y'all even wonder sometimes why the media can't
spend money. No, no.
And why these softball-ass motherfuckers with big bankrolls can't fund us.
I thought it was Carlos and Q. We got Carlos and Q?
Free Mall Chair, no callers in queue. Callers got to press 1 to get in queue. No callers in queue.
Callers, 929-477-3785. You got to press 1 for me to bring you in. 929-477-3785. Press 1 so we can see he can bring you on in. 929-477-3785. Press 1. I know Monroe, Louisiana. That's right, Monroe, Louisiana. My comrades will be touching in on that. We're going with the lady on school board. What she said on social media? We get a call from there. Oakland, California, will be touching in with us. 929-477-3785. Press 1. Nine two nine four seven seven three seven eight five. Press 1. He's the man in the building. Free them all. Be grabbing the building.
Free them all. We got a call in queue. 601 area code. Free them all, Chef.
Right on. Free them all. Welcome to Free them all radio.
Excuse me. I'm feeling a little under right now. This is Dominique Walker from Monster Housing. Chairman, thank you so much for having us here. Just here to talk about what's going on in Oakland and with Monster Housing. I was arrested last night at a sit-in for, we want Alameda County, our board of supervisors, we have an unincorporated park outside of Oakland and Berkeley, California, where they don't have any tenant protection.
Let me jump in with you. One second, sis. Let me just.
Okay.
Those kept listening in, y'all. Dominique Walker, Miles of Housing. Again, I prefaced it with down in Oakland, California. I don't know. I've got good. A lot of these memories out of those who not just first time listeners with us, the first time, you know, getting down with us, y'all. You remember the scenes. It was live. Right there on ironically, where I'm sitting at now, a lot of people heard that we've heard Oakland, Chicago, not we, but the Black Panther Party, Oakland, Chicago was super cities. And it was the time to say the Hampton House campaign, the campaign for Miles of Housing. And it was a microcosm, a template, you know what I'm saying? Y'all, think back. I'm talking about front page, mainstream media, everything. The state was talking about, making straight out move. We had the mothers there, literally, the community, you know what I'm saying? Frontline Freedom Fighters, you know what I'm saying? Field Marshal Tour, Councilwoman, Community Secretary, Cal Fife, and others. I'm talking about, up in the ante about this country, about housing. And it wasn't just this. A lot of times we look at different struggles. And I don't want to prolong it too long, but we see snippets of it. Like, okay, this is just about housing. I mean, again, stuff you take for granted. And the whole, even the battles that, you know what I'm saying, the country that we're exposed, you know what I'm saying, I'm talking about, like, even the banksters and gangsters, you know what I'm saying? The who come through and you look at the price of housing and how these countries, how they be ripping up, you know what I'm saying? Ripping up the land and the trickle down impact of how different programs, like breakfast program. People say, okay, it's nice y'all feeding children, But you, if the trickle down impact of just our person, I mean, how you feel, it be connected to the quality, to the crime, everything in our community. Housing to our people in the United States, the place, I mean, and the house was there, and with this, with arsenal, the state released on a fight, you know what I'm saying, to take this house back, you know, and also, but the it was so inspiring, you know what I'm saying, and I remember this young sister here, man, out to my man, the consistency, and we was honored to be, you know what I'm saying, man, on the battlefield with him, but this, so it's ongoing. So these campaigns are not just these are not one night stands, no hit and quit. These are protracted struggles. So a lot of times we say, man, we see certain things. Oh, that was beautiful, y'all done that. The ongoing again protracted struggles. I was on preface with this here. So this is the first time. In fact, she did this on Freedom on Radio years ago. Inside the house, where I'm saying helicopters and with a shed. What's his name? It'll come to me in a minute. Notorious police chief that came and his blatant statement. What he was planning on doing to the house? Who he knew was in that house? And we talk about that also. But I just want to help preface who we got here, sister. So we honored and humbled to have you online with us. So bring us up to speed. We seeing some of the pictures about. We hear different reports about in the courthouse, the standoff. In Oakland, California, and a lot of people thought the campaign for Miles Housing was over. Everything was, but you know what I'm saying. But the ongoing, not only after some reason to get some housing, you know what I'm saying, for the people, but that really heightened this contradiction about, you know what I'm saying, why is this still going on? And you know what I'm saying, and this ain't true. I don't want to cut it off, but I mean, take you the wrong, to put it out there too prematurely, but. Even you being locked up last night, you know what I'm saying? And I'm flashing back when you was locked up. You and other sisters, y'all was locked up before we were down there. So don't take for granted that we know. We have some new listeners here, and people want to know some of the background on, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, some of the history with this long struggle that's been going on down there with Monster Housing and what happened last night.
Yeah, we are still fighting. Since we won the house, we were able to house two sisters and their children, and that's still not enough. It's not enough. And we know that when there's a crisis in the city, it affects us the most, and that is why we are fighting so hard. So last night we had a sit-in with the Board of Supervisors. They are not wanting to pass tenant protections. And if they don't pass this, bottom line is there's going to be 10,000 more folks spilling out on the street, could potentially be evicted. And we know that if you look at the homeless population, 7 out of 10 of them are Black people. So we know what that population is going to look like. And we put our bodies on the line and we're saying no. And I got arrested, but we are still, there's another meeting. We have actions going on, and we're going to stop every meeting that they have until they make that decision. But it's an ongoing struggle.
Dominic, you said, okay, give us, like, tenant protection. What is this, what is some of the, they can't keep calling on me. Just give me one second. Yes, I'm on the radio show right now. Yes, Ramon. Hello? Yes. Come on, I'll let you in.
Okay. One second.
Okay, I'm self-critical. Forgive me. Lock that door, bro. Dominique, forgive me. You said tenant protections.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could you explain it to us?
Yeah. So tenant protections. Some of them are just cause. So your landlord just can't evict you for any reason. And another one is a fair chance. So if you've been formally convicted of a crime, that can't prevent you from getting housing. In California, and also a rent registry. So people that just own property just can't have it sit, and they have to have it registered with the city so we know what's going on with it. And that's basic, because housing is a human right. We should all have a right to housing, especially Black folks when we've been discriminated against as far as housing, with redlining and just discrimination from the government and all, on all sides.
But it was redlining in particular, you know. So people, when they hear these different terms, one of the skills of the system is they, you know, these euphemisms and these words that may seem non-nefarious isn't damaging. We hear terms like, you know, redlining, different terms. And I'm thinking back, like, just give the Chicago history if I can. Dr. King even talked about that, you know, when he came to Chicago, a lot of places, but he never, the racism. And when we hear you talk about the racism, people, a lot of times people try to divide you into just, you know, well, you know, white people don't like Black people. We need to all just get along, understand each other. But the impact of how it impacts, again, food, clothing, and shelter. And it was in the late 50s, Chicago, Hyde Park, became a thriving Black community. And they had systematically, Mayor Daley, who later be Mayor Daley, Richard Sr., who was the clerk of Cook County at the time. They had put together this, he was a clerk, and they had simultaneously said something to the effect that you have to have insurance in your homes, and then simultaneously told insurance companies do not sell insurance to Black people. That was one of the ways they had pushed a lot of Black people up out of there. And then in the 1960s, it was a Woodlawn became a thriving Black community. You know, like I guess kind of get people like a understand like a local Tulsa, Oklahoma. And these are different examples of people say, you know, pull yourself a better bootstraps, whatever. We make these success stories, but the attacks that come down on them, that counterinsurgency needs to be put in context. In Woodlawn, you see thriving Black business, the Black, you know, saying the populace of Black people started to increase, and then it was an actual program, the Woodlawn Experiment, where entities such as the University of Chicago, Sears and Roebuck, First National Bank, Rockefeller Foundation, you know what I'm saying, where they have, you know, funded over $100 million cold cash money to trickle down to create a crime epidemic, and where the Black people moved at mass numbers, and University of Chicago, other entities got their property. And on international level, you look at, you know, places like Rwanda, people, you know, say, people just like, people say, well, how do these people get there? You know, these other nationalities, whatever. These are major land grabs that are happening. And people say, well, in reality, the housing that this government has and continues to have our people in particular is the penitentiaries and the graveyards. And I'm just saying this, so when we talk about the campaigns, Moms for Housing, I want people to devalue this and say, well, we just work together, save our money. But the attack on, you know what I'm saying, depriving us of these basic survival needs. And you think about, like, you know, like even that stability, like the politics of even the term of a home, like, you know what I'm saying, like when you're transient, you're constantly moving, you know what I'm saying, the impact on the family, so on and so forth. And that stability that we're deprived of, you know what I'm saying, and a disconnect from a community. So I'm really trying to get us to really envision the importance of these campaigns, and as well as the importance of those who fight to protect these basic entities, and how either you say, well, I'm cool, I got a house, I'm cool, I got food, you know, I'm cool, I got clothing. But the deal is, one of the philosophical tools that we relate to is dialectical materialism. And one of the characteristics of that is, I'm impacted by you being homeless, and vice versa. And I tell people they can see that in a reactionary sense. That oh man, you see what's going on now? Or you don't say. The ecosystem, you start taking certain elements. You take basic, regardless of their Capricorns or Virgos, Scorpios, you take basic dynamics, food, clothing, and shelter. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of whatever community. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people try to make this more complex than it is. The Black Panther Party implemented the first food breakfast program, Children going to school, people say, well, black people, they, you know, black children, they grades that don't build the park. Black Panther Party said, hold them up. You know what I'm saying? You can, you say, any child, red, black, whatever color, going, you know, say, going to school hungry. It's hard even, it's insulting to have the discussion about adverbs and verbs and pronouns and mathematical problems. You know, basically, they hungry. We talking about, you know what I'm saying? And I hope you listen to our sister's point. It's the term she said. They was, I mean, on the battlefield, but the children, the houses, and the community. And also, even though, even the event that we had, and even I remember that campaign. And we talked, even with the Hampton House, you go back and look how the community is transformed. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm at right now, it was 9 overdoses next door before we got here. You know what I'm saying? Build abandoned, one of the sisters put up in this now, vacant for years. That's all we point out, the monster housing campaign. These houses be vacant. So ideally, you would say, okay, that's a great thing that you're doing. You put some life into it. We ain't the conscious. They weren't paying no attention. The house next door, my cousin died in a fire in the house next door to the Hampton House 43 years ago. It said abandoned, nothing. Once we cleaned it up, once we worked on it, then once we get the historical landmark, that's when the bankers are, oh, now we got to have our property back. And it's a similar contradiction, y'all. Similar contradiction. It's like a brother just did something recently. He saved somebody. I think it's the Cleveland case. So when he, they knew he was there all the time. When he saved some people, we got a warrant on him now. Oh, now you're looking for him. He said, you know what I'm saying? See, this here, we got to hide these contradictions. So, Dominique, okay, you was locked up last night. What's the status? Any court dates? Any sites the people need to go to keep abreast on this respective campaign?
I have a court date on February 23rd at 9 a.m., and that's Pacific Standard Time. More to come. We're still organizing. The folks haven't taken that vote. There's a lot more action going on coming up this weekend. MomsForHousing.org, and you can follow us on our social media handles, and we'll be posting as we go.
Could someone type this in for me as we speak? MomsForHousing. Give me that again.
MomsForHousing.org, and it's Moms for Housing on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Say one more time, sis.
Which one? MomsForHousing.org, and then it's just Moms for Housing for all of our social media handles.
Right on. Moms for Housing. Make sure y'all tap that in, share that. And those who are on the ground, February 23rd, we go. So we need warm bodies. We need warm bodies, you know what I'm saying, in the courtroom, you know what I'm saying, pack that courthouse. And, you know what I'm saying, it's hot in Oakland. It's so much, it's hot all over. You have the ability and opportunity, you know what I'm saying, to sum this up, you know what I'm saying. You know, this is one way or another, you know what I'm saying. Again, they just had the mayor of Los Angeles. This is an emergency. You know, the housing, and then you want to spend all these resources and doing studies and finance. You ain't got to do no big. You go right to the ground, see people who got here consistent. Go back and go look at the times. You know what I'm saying? Councilwoman Carol Feist, you know, look at the resume of when this was not a popular discussion. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times you have these different entities, whether it be food, clothing, and shelter. It's a subjective need. Like, you can't even relate to it. Like, man, I can't believe nobody getting no house. And, you know what I'm saying, the numbers that's hidden right, you know what I'm saying? And, again, the trickle-down impact, how it impacts the people, the community, the people, everything. Take a second, take a pause, look back in your own life. When you're moving, as a child, think back in your own life, you know what I'm saying? The separation from your friends, the school, all that, different dynamics. Then add to that if you can. Add to that the absence of stability that you know where you're going. You know what I'm saying? You don't know where you're going to be at. And that's long we start talking about the status of the community. The state, it don't be no one prong attack. This is keep it moves in concert. It's at a time where, you know what I'm saying, really know how the communities work. You can't be left. You can't be outside more. I remind myself of the night. In certain blocks, you just can pull up on. You can sit out all night. I said, whoa, I can't remember. Man, that ain't happening no more. There used to be a time when I grew up, I could walk down the block I grew up, and I could blindfold it. I can tell you which family last name was there. The communities are destabilized. So now you got this, you're homeless, you're out there, you don't know where to go. The organizations are dismantled. If this was happening anywhere else, it would be acknowledged as war tactics. War tactics, the dismantling of a community, taking away communication. Taking away, you know what I'm saying, pulling certain forces out of progressive fields, you know what I'm saying, whether it be the entertainers, whether it be the athletes, whether it be the politicians, whatever. Certain points, you know, you say, wait, why is this happening? It's working in concert. People say, oh, man, you paranoid, you tripping. No, this is real talk, y'all. This is real talk. You live on the record free on my radio, 929-477-3785. Press 1 to be in. So, Dominique, anything else you want to add? You want to add to us?
No, that's it. I just wanted to thank you again for uplifting our struggle and having me here.
We honor and we humble. Over California, y'all make sure I keep that cordial locked and loaded, y'all. We 929-477-3785. We got some more calls coming in. We're looking for a sister who wears a myriad of hats. You know what I'm saying? Councilwoman Carol Fife, a communications secretary, a force who. Many forces are not familiar with, get familiar with. And the fact that y'all came, look on my Facebook profile. That's the article that's talking about, even the, you know what I'm saying, she in particular is subjected to. And it's not, you know, just because, you know, a lot of times, it was how the old saying go, if a tree falls in the forest and you don't hear it, doesn't make a sound. Yeah, just because you can hear it don't mean it ain't no sound. Just because this is being put out on mainstream media now. This has been something that, you know what I'm saying, there's been a common contradiction in God's, you know, threats and attacks, so on and so forth. So we won't talk about that, you know what I'm saying. I just was joined by this young brother and sister just came over here just now. I'm going to bring them up in a minute, you know what I'm saying. I met them today at the DuSable Museum. I'm going to, you know what I'm saying, we got any calls in queue first on the boards?
Callers on the line need to press 1 if they want to be on queue. Chair, no callers in queue. Free them all.
929-477-3785. Check this out. Press 1 to get in. I had a meeting with some brothers today. I went live, and I heard the volume was in and out, you know what I'm saying, on Facebook. One brother, you know, I think locked up 37 years, just get out. He's on death row. So I was like, man, I had met with them today. Another brother was locked up with me, and I was locked up. And I'd come from, I said, well, I'm going to be out south anyway. I asked to do some meetings, some follow-up meetings, some contributions at the Bud Billiken Parade. I had to meet with the foundation, the Chicago Defender. So we had to do some follow-up, you know, some dialogue about that. We keep y'all abreast about that, too. But I come down, so after the meeting at the DuSable Museum, south on 5700 Chicago Road, I would be remiss if I say DuSable Museum without acknowledging late, great Dr. Margaret T. Burroughs. Matter of fact, those who can see, this is Dr. Margaret T. Burroughs. That's me with her. As you see, I was thinner and had a lot more hair on my head. This is our first come home. Dr. Margaret T. Burroughs, I'm on so many things. She, man.
Primo,
okay. I'm gonna pick up on that in 1 second. Y'all know how we do it. Those who just tuning in with me, multitasking. We moving and grooving, y'all. We ride, we hit different lanes. You know what I'm saying? Don't trip on us with no speed limit. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got no seatbelt on. We crossing through Mississippi, coming through Oakland. Africa might call in, the Cook County Jail. We moving and grooving, y'all. It's been a making history, taking history, y'all. Who we got here on the call? Call in queue.
Caller 510, you're in queue.
This is Councilmember Carol Fife.
Councilmember Carol Fife, love, respect, welcome. Welcome to Free 'Em All Radio. We just
love and respect, Free 'Em All.
Free 'Em All. We, first and foremost, let me... We just we prefaced, I don't know if you were able to hear earlier, we get a little background with the present climate. Well, we definitely, anytime we talk about Oakland in particular, we attempt our best to give some background and this historical significance and political significance of what we're dealing with. And this to talk about the present climate. And I will tell people, those who are not familiar with even, we can't, but I tell you, we can romanticize his work and talk, you know, how beautiful it is. I tend to be careful about what we cannot negate the counterinsurgency, you know what I'm saying, because in layman's terms, the attacks that come with this. And you know, so a lot of people say, well, I don't want to hear about that part. Even with the movie Judas and the Black Messiah, a lot of people, they say they didn't want to hear about the part about, you know, we shouldn't talk about William O'Neill, the age of Robert Tour. Let's just talk about the leather jackets, the berets, the program. And believe me, that for the morale, that's beautiful. And that's the reality of it. But there's also a reality that comes with this, that, you know what I'm saying, that we as realists, you know what I'm saying, not pessimists, that we have to acknowledge, you know what I'm saying, and to put in the correct context is important, because when you talk about struggle, is, you know what I'm saying, and you hear about different, the Moms and Housing campaign, the work the CRC is doing, and on outside looking in, the people who say, okay, that, you know, I mean, that's right on. You know, we heard about the gift card, we heard about the position, about the housing, but then we start talking about maybe it's a characteristic of trauma, what have you, about the what happened at that house, at the Marshall house. You know what I'm saying? The struggles went down, the helicopters, the tear gas, all these different, you know what I'm saying? The state blatantly said what they gonna do, and the targeting, the slander, you know what I'm saying? And what has come, what has not come to surface, but this is even talked about now in regards to a lot of people just get familiarized with, but something that's not new in regards to the blatant outright, you know, the threats and all. People say, well, you know, a lot of times we are sold this, what's the saying, they have a lot of sticks and stones, they break my bones, and just dismiss it, don't trip on the cycle. To put in context, like when you see different, you see, I'm thinking about two movies in particular now I'm thinking about this now. Spike Lee's version of Malcolm X, and I think it was imperative, that part about even the phone calls with Betty Shabazz. I think it's imperative, the scene in Judas and Black Messiah, you know what I'm saying, the scene where Daniel Kaluuya comes into Lisa Joy Powell portraying Spurgeon Jake Winter's mother, and the phone calls. So a lot of times we divide it to, well, the bullets, the assassination, but the psychological warfare, you know what I'm saying, the isolation, the slander, all this, you know what I'm saying, all these different dynamics, you know what I'm saying, that impact our people in general, you know what I'm saying, and it's concentrated on those, you know what I'm saying, fighting for self-determination. Bring us to the speak, you know what I'm saying, what's happening, Councilwoman, you know, what's, I mean, what, you guys, these reports about the threats and the climate, what's presently happening right there in California?
Well, I can say that what's happening is they're afraid of a loss of management power, and there are people that are have lost their position in their management positions that are trying to reorganize themselves because, you know, partly because I'm in the position that I'm in to do something about the extracted wealth and the extracted resources from West Oakland, number one. But the status quo is losing their minds right now because they are losing the positions. And so, you know, there's often an uptick. It's like an EKG that happens when status quo representatives go on Fox News and talk about Oakland, because that creates a ripple effect. And, you know, any opposition to the status quo will be made the target, and that is often going to be the work that we do. So that's
I was just coming yesterday. That I usually only be in Chicago around election time, you know what I'm saying, because it get real nasty, you know what I'm saying, like, in particular, like, they refer to it the machine politics, and, it, you know what I'm saying, it's like even those who are not directly involved in it, the climate, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm sure in every oppressed community they talk about, like, how, you know, the police get more hotter, you know what I'm saying, because they really send a message to us, like, don't come outside, don't vote, you know what I'm saying? And so all that is a certain era of time that we know election time is coming. Is it, as far as electoral, right now in Chicago, I think it's February 28th, and you can see it. You can see like even the different you can see the pus coming out the sewer. You know, what's going, like, is there an election going on?
There's always an election going on. There's always somebody running for something. For my particular race, the election isn't until time that the presidential election.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Can you hear me okay?
Are you fine? Yes, yeah. We back. We on. Yes, yeah.
They're trying to get a head start on my race.
Okay. Got you. That's one thing that I want to really point out about, you know, I mentioned earlier about protracted struggle, and it's, you know, like a protracted, like the long range. A lot of times we look at situations in a reactionary assessment, like, oh, this just happened, we wait to the last minute, but that's good and bad to know, you know what I'm saying? So again, it's be noted, you know what I'm saying? The state thinks long range. They move long in a protracted sort of way. You know what I'm saying? And we can dismiss certain things with it, certain narratives, certain articles. You know what I'm saying? But we have to have a long range memory also. In fact, we gotta have a memory like a Kenyan elephant. We gotta remember those who get out for us. You know what I'm saying? Get out for the people. You know what I'm saying? So I can't reiterate that enough. You know. So again, locking in our minds and our hearts, you know. What has been the response from the people, the community, in regards, you know, saying I want to say the intensified harassment, you know what I'm saying? Because again, I think something that sometimes it becomes a norm, and like we don't point it out, you know what I'm saying? But it becomes this is the way it goes. But what is the community response and assessment of these anticipated attacks?
It's been nothing but overwhelming love and support by community members. I was at a strike on a picket line with the nurses at Children's Hospital Oakland. Shout out to all of our caregivers today. And they were also extremely supportive, and they said whatever you need, whenever you need, is, you know, what they wanted to just make sure that I knew is that we got your back. And likewise, I feel the same way for workers, but my community, my colleagues have been, they've just been amazing. And that's why I always put my faith in stock in the people, because that's where the protection is.
Well, anything else we should be brought? You know, say we want to seize the time, this opportunity. You know, saying that have a, you know, into the ground, what's happening there? And again, this is these are, you know, saying contradictions that one way or another. You know, saying that, you know, the state they employ, you know, saying on those who, you know, take a stance for us. Was there anything in particular we should be made aware of, or any sites that we can be kept, the people outside of Oakland, I'm speaking in particular, that can be kept abreast of what's going on, and, you know, and how, you know, saying, you know, the climate about this, as well as the moves still being made. Because I want to point this out, even though these attacks, I knew I made a joke one time. I think you was under the weather. He said, "No, you ain't gonna stop." But even the work's still going on, so we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Any ways that people can support, you know, the work they're going, as well as that that dual duty of still that security question.
Yes, I'm definitely working with my team to increase the security and the safety protocols that we undertake, and I'm grateful, deeply grateful for the soldiers that's around me. I wouldn't do this without them, but I will say that folks can definitely check out and stay abreast to my social media pages, and that's Carol_Fife, and that's Carol with two R's and two L's, because really it's so easy to see what the state is doing right now. I'm the primary voice for calling out the contradictions in the system. Folks act like I created white supremacy and all of the conditions that exist in the community. I'm the one out here trying to rectify them, but they're coming at me like I somehow created them. And so just be able to call it out when you see it, because it's a bunch of nonsense, and it's the same patterns, it's the same Jedi mind trick, generation after generation. The tactics are old, but, you know, just help me keep the community abreast of how these tricks have been played out in the past, because one of my main harassers comes online frequently with Chairman Fred Sr.'s picture in the background. So it's important to recognize that they are still the same kind of, you know, cover up and trying to act like they're with the people, but you're really the vampire sucking off the people. And so, yeah, it's the same, I'm trying to watch my language, same mess, different day. You know, it's the same mess you're experiencing in other cities is happening right here in Oakland. So it's easy to call out the tactics.
Well, the love, respect, and appreciation we have for you transcends Oakland, California, you know what I'm saying, and spirit internationalism. We love and appreciate you. You know, we got your back like a backpack, chest like a bulletproof vest. We keep us posted. These airways are always open. On a side note, but another note, man, love and miss y'all. You know what I'm saying? And commend you. You know what I'm saying? All the comrades there. You know, the people there, you know what I'm saying? The people. You know what I'm saying? Again, it's because, again, sometimes people see the end result or the process and say, well, that's easy. Again, I don't want to put this out there like a damper or like a pessimist, but it's important that, you know what I'm saying, that these moves are being made. We talk about these campaigns for housing and basic other survival needs under contested conditions. And I say contested conditions, I use the analogy. It's one thing to talk to a shadow boxer, and the shadow boxer tells you about, you know, how good, you know, his or her respective, you know, right hook is, you know, or uppercut is. But you start talking about that dynamic up in that ring, you know what I'm saying, and that mat. You start talking about that dynamic where you expose the referees they put in there is working with, you know what I'm saying, is the advantage, you know, the adversary. You start talking about that dynamic of, you know what I'm saying, so straight out, you know what I'm saying, you got to watch the person they put around you, the people in the audience, all that. And this is we want to heighten those contradictions. Not that we, you know, we crying the blues and nothing, no. But again, it's very clear, and it never should be assessed as a beef or this person against this person. To heighten the contradiction and say, whose interests? You know what I'm saying? Look at the end of the day, you go back and look at it, so wait a minute. How does this benefit the people? You know what I'm saying? What's their track record? You know what I'm saying? We encourage you. We call on you. Go check out Councilwoman Carol Fife's track record, y'all. Love and respect. We live and record Freedom on Radio. Spirit of making history, taking history, and taping history. 929-477-3785. Press 1. Councilwoman Fife, anything else you want to add to us? Hello? Still there? Hello?
Grandma, I think she hung up, but we got another caller.
Okay. Welcome to Free Mall Radio.
Caller 318, live on Free Mall Radio.
Free Mall, Chairman Fred, this is Stephen Monroe.
Free Mall, welcome. Welcome to Fremont Radio. We call live direct from, I don't know if y'all are familiar, to Monroe, Louisiana, correct?
Yes, indeed.
Right on. Welcome to Fremont Radio. I think last time you had touched down with us, we was giving some updates, y'all. For those not familiar, just a little background, that whole area, Monroe, Louisiana, Shreveport, Hainesville, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so many giants, you know what I'm saying, companies, locations. I mean, it's that red clay dirt, all is down there. In fact, Chairman Fred Hampton is buried down in Hainesville, Louisiana, you know what I'm saying? And y'all remember the campaign we had in regards to Chairman Fred's, I guess I'm young brother here, I don't know if y'all know Chairman Fred's tombstone is shot up every year by law enforcement. That's a bullet riddle tombstone. That's the picture right there. That's his tombstone. It's shot up every year. And before I bring you on, Steve, I got brother and sister I met today at DuSable Museum. DuSable Museum named out of Jean Baptiste Point DuSable. Y'all know the history of him? I'm sure y'all do. Right on. Jean Baptiste Point DuSable, and it's out of Peoria, Illinois. Yeah, Peoria. Same place Defense Captain Marv Clark was born at. Richard Pryor born in Peoria, Illinois. He's a Jean Baptiste Point DuSable was a fur trader. His wife was indigenous, native, Karen, I can't recall a full name, and came up and was one of the first non-native inhabitants, what came to be known as Chicago. And you were wondering, like, what's the big issue? This cat, he should be no more. But Dr. Margaret T. Burroughs, who founded the South, was in her home, her and her husband, Charles Burroughs, inside the home, and later gave the South Museum on 5700 South Cottage Grove. Wednesdays is free, you know what I'm saying? And I used to be a docent. I used to speak up there, you know, shout out to Dr. Margaret T. Burroughs, Dr. Davenport, and so many others. And that wasn't no easy task, you know what I'm saying, to get Chairman Fred. I just come home, get Chairman Fred a job up in there, and I was in there. But today, I was up there meeting some brothers, and I went downstairs after I left. And I came across, I walked up in this, it's an area they show on the footage, the Black Panther Party and Chairman Fred and the Black Panther Party. And I was eavesdropping with his brother and sister, and I'm listening to him, so he was talking to me about the movie and different stuff. So I asked him, I said, well, enlighten me, tell me this stuff, you know. They were telling me questions, telling me different things, she said he was in the bedroom when they came in and with his wife. And let me tell you, Deborah Johnson, I know it's a cool and Jerry. That's political. This is Black Panther Party was a revolutionary organization. I don't know, they complete change. I be re-jiving them. Yeah, man, I can't stand these men, white men, or sister. They weren't jiving. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? The whole transformation on our own terms, self-determination. It was an organization, and we said we walk in them paw prints. Where he was Chairman Fred, not because of state sanctioning, then Mr. Health, Doc Sachs was then Mr. Health, not because the CDC said it. That was Chairman Fred's wife, Nia's widow, not because they didn't ask the sister, say, listen, I know we say y'all bogus about what y'all doing us in these schools and lead paint and all that, but could you stop for 2 seconds and validate our relationship? They was consistent with it. You know what I'm saying? So I heard that when you said that, you know what I'm saying? In the terms, Chairman Fred was assassinated. A lot of people say, what's the big deal? The terms are important. You don't think they're important, as would be Goldberg. Other communities, they hold people accountable about the terms they use. You know what I'm saying? So I'm listening to the sister and brother, and I'm asking, and it caught my ear, and I was really impressed with brother and sister. I was really impressed. I said, I'm not going to hold on to being too invasive, but y'all a couple. They told me, yeah, it made my day in so many ways, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, everything, every aspect of our community is under attack. You know what I'm saying? Our manhood, our womanhood, our childhood, our humanity, our relationships. You know what I'm saying? Even deal with each other. I'm not just talking about, like, you know, relationships that first comes to mind. Our families, our communities, y'all, we just dialogue with each other. And I said, man, that was really, it really struck me. I invited them to come to the house, and they came out here today, and I'm really impressed with them. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to let them tap in with us in a minute, though. But, I'll tell the mother, comrade, Chairman Fred Hampton's widow, my mother. This for y'all. This is her jail picture. That's her jail photo. Chairman Fred's jail photo's around here somewhere too. But that's that night slash that morning. 4:35 in the morning. They took out. That's Chandler Bridge Road. Yeah. She was on the scene, on the set. We met at Daniel Kaluuya sat there. Dominique Fishback right there. We first said that, and that was filmed December the 4th. Actually, that scene, we was right there. Everything down to, you know, we was the cultural experts. Dominique make sure that she wasn't crying on the stage. You know, so all that was, we was right there on the set when that happened. And that tomb, we had a big debate for years how to deal with this tombstone being shot up. So we didn't want to. Somebody said, "Why don't you cover it?" He said, "No, we want the world to see this here, you know." So we ended up getting like a casing over it. So this guy, he's been in Haynesville, Louisiana, and every Father's Day we make it down there. Unfortunately, this past Father's Day we didn't make it down there. His brother who's online with us right now, covered down over it, make sure everything good, and you know, casing by the chairman. And it's an ongoing relationship. Something's going on, okay. Like a lot of people say, that, like, even the tombstone was shot up. People say, "Well, you need to put some cameras down there so you can catch them." I said, "They're not hiding. They're not. This ain't no secret. They know they come down there and do this." And it's how they say, well, one day the South arrives again. We say, "We're the South. We don't know it'll fail." Speaking of which. But Steve, not in my room. What's going on with a school board member? What happened down there in my room, Louisiana? But bring it up to Steve.
This was a school secretary at a high school. She sent a text message out to a coach. I don't know if the coach is a black man or a white man, but she sent a coach out telling the coach to remind his students, his players, that there will be no practice on Monday because we close. She said for Nigger Day, Martin Luther King Jr. birthday, and the coach. She said for Nigger Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, that the school was going to be closed for Monday. And the coach replied back, like, "What? Why would you say that?" And she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to see you that." And it got out on social media.
She said to the coach by accident.
Yes. She must have thought she was taking somebody else, another teacher, I'm thinking. Yeah. And everything got exposed. It was all over Facebook and eventually made to the news.
Google it. And this, let me jump in tag team with you though. And people, like, again, a lot of times we hear about this stuff. Oh, that's just racism. We need to overcome. There's a person. She's okay. If I'm correct, she's in what capacity of the school board or the school administration is she in?
She was a secretary at high school.
Secretary at
Washington High School. Yeah.
Washington High School. I can't stress enough the part. It's insulting when people just tell us, you know, like the divide of these different, these contradictions, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, you might say, okay, so she's not a teacher, she's a secretary of the school. That dynamic, a secretary of the school, I mean, all the school, you are impacted, the janitor of the school. In fact, I tell people, I say the positive of a school, growing up, I say, if ever I've ever saw a black man in a school, it was a janitor. That was it. That was it. So and you can remember the story. These are people that you come into contact with. You know, tell me, children going to school now, the security, the screening, the police, all of this. It sounds like a prison, like a joint, like a concentration camp. So it's just a secretary. These are people you come into school that you got to see when you go to the office. These are people in authority. So here's a person that feels comfortable sending this text like about Reverend Dr. King is nigga. So you can imagine how she feels about the black people in general. You know what I'm saying? So these are the dynamics, you know what I'm saying? We can see it when it hits the boiling point or the board point about the police, as we see in the case of Tyree Nichols in Mississippi, but the everyday dynamics. The everyday dynamics, you know what I'm saying, of, you know what I'm saying, how they impact you. Malcolm talked about as a child, you know what I'm saying, the teacher told you can never be a lawyer. You know, these are different. And then a lot of times we have a reactionary assessment like, well, we need to get more black teachers, so on and so forth. Get this here. We see different people in different situations, and we just think that's not happenstance. There are policies set up where even white women teachers can get their student loans forgiven to go do a certain amount of service time in the quote-unquote urban schools. You know, they'll say, go to the jungle. That movie, Gangsta Paradise. You know, Michelle Pfeiffer. That dynamic. That's the makeup, you know what I'm saying, coming out with these wild kids. And you're thinking, oh, that's nice that they come to work with us. the incentive, the policies themselves, the political dynamics, they have a psychological profile, like in the prisons. It's a certain sort of guard they have working the visiting room. That guard is the more palatable one. The people come visit you, oh, that's nice. They keep a certain guard. They'll sit back in the cell house. In our communities, they have the profile. You think they roll the dice to get five of them Negroes to beat that man like the way they beat that man, Tyree Nichols in Mississippi? They do. Listen, so you do psychological profiles. You go into the liquor store. When you go into when you walk down the street, you can pick up on who a loose cannon, who high. They knew, and they released these. They put them in our community. And it's done by design. It's political, y'all. So again, this is the secretary at Washington High School. Go Google it. One of the most impactful positions in any organization, secretary. Real talk.
It's actually deeper than that, Chairman Fred. I remember when I was in junior high. This was like around 97. I used to walk home from school with my friends. So this was in junior high. So the junior high school, like right next door, this is Westmore High School. We used to walk home from school. It wasn't uncommon for us to be called nigger by some white boys in Detroit with Confederate flags on it. This is like 1997.
Huh.
Yeah, and then the mascot at Westmore High School, y'all can Google this, Westmore High School and Confederate flags. They had to find the Confederate flags. The mascot was called Johnny Rail, a man of Confederate. That was the mascot, Confederate uniform. And they banned it. They finally banned it in 2015. But get this, they couldn't have the flags on poles on their trucks. But they could still have the flags. They just couldn't fly them. And they could still wear the clothing with Confederate flags on there. And it's still going on to this day.
And this is Monroe, Louisiana.
Yeah.
I think back, you know, you just triggered some of my thoughts, man. You know, this is before Dr. King Day was even a holiday. Ironically, I went to one of the high schools I attended was the same high school my mother had attended. And, you know, she came up to the school one time, and one of the same teachers was there, you know. But I remember the fights, they just were talking about even Dr. King holiday become a holiday. And I remember us going outside after coming out of school in an area known as Canaryville, you know, it's still notorious. And the fights we have, you know what I'm saying, like the white children, the whole community, you know what I'm saying? And, I think it was more difficult, too, because you had this whole reference to this so-called post-racial society, but you see, I think it's more better deal with, so at least they have the knowledge. And then, see, racism is one of the top tools used by capitalism, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that dynamic of, you know, what it breeds and the comfortability for people, you know what I'm saying? But not only the white community, per se, but other communities that come in and just feel they can, you know, do what they will, the black community, you know what I'm saying? Sell them what you want to sell them. You know, you have to abide by, no rules. And again, it impacts, back to what I said earlier, food, clothing, and shelter. You know, education is political. You know, you go back, most of the textbooks in the schools, you say, why are they written up in Texas at all places, you know what I'm saying? And you go back and look at it, I mean, the fight against what they call critical thinking, the critical analysis. They want you to become these robots, you know what I'm saying? And that's, we have to tap in, make the connection, what's going on, regards to the housing crisis, housing contradiction, to the food contradiction, to the educational, really the miseducation, you know what I'm saying? People, let me tell you, even how important school, the place in politics of schools, when I had the opportunity to be in Africa for the first time, the door of no return, this is the door you got to guard, this would be like the last door you would leave out before being placed on a slave ship, you know what I'm saying, transported out to the different locations known as the seasoning period. Because I tell you, it wasn't just no straight one-way ticket to North America. It would take us and break our families up, our communities up, you know what I'm saying, to Jamaica, Haiti, you know what I'm saying. Haiti, boy, hey, man, Hey, that'll get paid and get passed. How you? Because hey, was giving their ass hell to the Black Republic. Which one was? Hey, man, they still shake. Toussaint Louverture, Dessalines. You know what I'm saying? When they French heard that Cooper Top Woolly K. You know what I'm saying? Speaking with the brothers who's on the today, we're talking about the lineage, the Haiti. But I was so the door no return in Ghana. They were showing me different places, and they had the room with the actual official. The rapes. You know what I'm saying? Where they raped the women at, and they would have them right here. And when the men come past, this would be like their last scene. They would bring the men out. You know what I'm saying? The dark dungeon. And it was this, you would see the rapes, you know, they're raping the women. And then all this going down here, and above, this we had the place, this was the school, they call it for the mulattoes. This is the school. They had an actual school. So you up there getting the education while all this horror is going down right here. You know? And you think about it now, like you, I just seen some article there where Spike Lee was saying when they filmed School Days, the colorism battles that was happening even with the filming of it. And so it's either education, how it's viewed. Now, in fact, not that it be training. It be training as opposed to education, y'all. We live in the red. We talking about what's happening down in Marlboro, Louisiana. We talking about what's happening in California. We talking about having the Cook County Jail, Chicago, you name it. And it's been internationalism. We rolling. We moving and grooving. Making history, taking history, taking history. I'm not in the studio today, y'all. We got a call last minute. You know how we going to move? I said, wait a minute, y'all. Man, that's eight. That's eight. If we come out and we got to use 2 tin cans of string, so be it. Let's do it. You know what I'm saying? So again, live in the record, free on my radio, 929-477-3785. I think my son just said, I'm scared to ask this call. You can call 929-477-3785 and press 1. If I answer this phone, all of this me, my incapabilities and technology, I lose the volume on this. You know what I'm saying? So I can't ask the phone, but you can, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if you hear me on Facebook. Let me know, because I know they be saying they go in and out. You know what I'm saying? Before I close out, I'm bringing up this young brother and sister. You know what I'm saying? I'll let them step in with us, too. I really was inspired by them today. It really helped make my day. Any more updates you want to give us, my brother?
Man, that was it right there, man. I just want to say y'all keep doing what y'all doing, man. I love y'all, and I support y'all, man, no matter what.
We're going to keep doing it, dude. Free them all. Appreciate you, my brother. Right on. We live the record. Free them all. Radio, y'all. Making history. Taking history. Taking history. We got to have to just close out. Close now. Any more callers in queue?
No, sir, Chairman. No callers in queue right now.
I'm riding up all this coffee. Yeah. So, brother and sister, let y'all today. I'm just going to bring y'all steps so people can see y'all a little bit too. I throw them on the spot, but I met them today, and I told them to come on through to the Happen House, you know what I'm saying? And that's a brother and sister right here. 19 years, both y'all 19, right?
Yeah.
And I was inspired, you know what I'm saying? So they were down there talking. Parts of the same question I asked y'all earlier. So why was y'all, this was no school trip or nothing like this. Y'all on y'all own. And I pointed out, you know what I'm saying? This was last time you said, oh man, I must actually adults up there. So y'all, what made y'all get the museum today?
So we actually have plans to go to the museum earlier today. So like we were saying, this is just like how God works. But we have plans to go to the museum today. Our museum's closed on Wednesdays. We didn't know this. And I was just thinking in the back of my head, because we always had these conversations, and I almost forgot about the DuSalle Museum. I used to go all the time when I was a kid. So I was like, yeah.
Who took you say you want? Okay, I'll make sure. Okay, this brother took the DuSalle Museum. And I'm asking, what made them go there today? And he was just, brother, he told me, say, he went there as a child all the time. Who took you there in?
My dad. Like, I'm impatient, so when you talk about a Haitian revolution in Toussaint, I hear that all the time in my ears. So my dad's a member of the I believe it's Haitian American something club. So they take trips out there all the time.
Yeah.
So I'll be able to things like that. I think I had a school trip too before. So I've been there just a few times. So.
Your dad took you right on. I'm right on. And so, okay. Call us. This week we're going to the art museum.
Our museum closed. We just came. We decided to go to South Museum last minute. Yeah. And as we went in there, I just forgot just how like impactful. Because like when you're younger, you know, I had these thoughts and ideas.
They're 19. You think when you're younger? Yeah. They're 19, y'all. Yeah. They're 19.
But you know, when I'm really young,
back in the
days,
yeah.
You know, these thoughts don't resonate with you like as deeply as it does. Now that you're older and you're maneuvering through the world, you see like just how these systems actually work at play against you. So now like we have these conversations all the time and we just decide to go and we
y'all forgive me. We go in a minute we're gonna have set up a professional like the park. It was like 85 style the drink channel. I have all our microphones, everything, you know. You'll see. Let me know if y'all can hear this conversation we got going on. When I came up, y'all was talking about Judith, some of in the movie too.
Yeah.
Okay. What's that again, sister?
Mariah.
Elijah. When did y'all first see the movie? Did y'all
together?
Oh yeah.
So first, my friend, her dad was.
Did y'all listen in?
Telling us about the movie at first when it first
who's that?
My best friend's dad.
Okay.
Telling us about it when it first came out.
Judas and the Black Messiah.
Right. So we sat down and we watched the movie, and it just left like an impression on me. Like everything.
At your friend's house, did y'all watch the movie Judas and the Black Messiah?
Mm-hmm. So then I was like, okay, I have to watch this movie with someone because we were talking about all the movies we were gonna watch, and I'm like, okay, let's watch this one. So we watched it. And as we were walking afterwards to go get some food, after we watched the movie, we were like, okay, well, how do we get involved? Like, we can't just sit here with all this information. Like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Like, so we started searching online, like, Black Pansy Party, like, is it still around or whatever the case may be? And I didn't see that much on it, so it was just kind of like, so it's just crazy that when we went to the museum today, we came across you, and it's just like, how it's coming full circle.
How long would y'all want to see the movie?
It wasn't long.
Yeah, like maybe a month.
I'm so inspired. You know what I'm saying? And like you know, this type of conversation, y'all. You know what I'm saying? These type of, like it was a climb in the Black Power movement of the '60s. You did where you know different type of organized street organization, different type of athlete. Different type of relationship, you know, where, you know, I'm listening to, I'm dissecting the conversation with them. They're talking about, type of dates. I'm talking about at the museum hanging out. So I just want to commend them for that. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure they know calls. I want y'all to see both of them. Y'all cool with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, I'm going to get y'all official tour through here also. This is a hell of a day today, and again, sometimes you know we go through battle fatigue, man. They give you images, you know, of us defeated images, or people that you know saying that's not as the situation is not inspiring. And it's toxic out there, man. But this is you know what I'm saying, and we never will manifest. It was ups and downs, struggle, but this is very inspiring. And so I'm glad I was today. I told these brothers earlier, I said, I'm going to come through. I said, y'all won't come to the Hampton House whenever. I'm just doing the show tonight. Here they go. They pull up. I people say, pull up. They pulled up. They pulled up, man. You know, talk, y'all. So, you know, I just commend y'all, man. I want to make sure y'all stay in contact with us. It's the work we're doing. We need that energy. Real talk. So, I'm going to let y'all see this. Then give me something to take us on out with. I know I got a couple more. I'm moving and grooving. All of you, okay, look, this, people saying inspiration, right on, some beats right on. Mother Comrade, this is, that's Mother Comrade, Cool and Jerry right there. Glad to hear the young couple. Looking forward to meeting them. Thanks to the young man's dad, right on, yeah, both, yeah. That's right on. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. Right on. Let me let y'all see them again. Ain't about to get into the Hampton House. They came through it, man. I was very inspired today. Say to the next generation, free them out. Yes, indeed. Palante, power to people. Right on. Hey, is that comrade Champ Paul? Don't talk about an event coming up. Some of I just seen a flyer y'all had. Something to put up there. Make sure y'all let us know so we can announce it. Some event, Young Lords. Y'all with the Young Lords? Okay, it's a picture. Okay, you with the Rainbow Coalition. Champ Free off of the Rainbow Coalition. The Young Lords is the Puerto Rican organization. Lisa Cha-Cha Menez. They want to serve unity. Young Patriots was the poor white group. And the street organizations, the Stone Disciples, the one of the unity. This was the Rainbow Coalition, Channel Prayer, author. You know, and then we, there's some comrades today that we working with still, the Indigenous community, Native community, Tiny House Warriors, you know what I'm saying, amongst others. We still getting down. So did y'all put in my old videos of today?
We were just scrolling through your Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. I'm still working
this
Instagram together.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, we were sitting here, we were just thinking a little bit. We just see, just the history. We see how powerful, we used to move as a people collectively.
Yeah.
And, how invested everyone was into the fight. And we just want to get that, we feel, I get exactly what you mean when you say, fatigue.
Yeah.
Try and get other people, other youth to feel as passionate about
things
as we do.
Yeah.
But it's hard to come across it. So we're trying to do our best to try and reach because, in the age where, so much that they're feeding us right now.
Yeah. I think 19 years old, yeah, man. It's rough. We're going to battle it out. Young Lords at every Thursday, 7:30 in Humboldt Park on North Avenue. Okay, right on. Blue Education, Hip Hop, and Pizza. Okay, right on. I laugh when I think about the food. One of our comrades, I'm going to ask the fallen comrade, Gangster Girl. I was going to make the annual Chamber Prince Street Party, August 30th, for them y'all calendar too. I said, what made you come to our event? She said, I see that they say free food on there. I said, I laugh, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people see them apply, they'll be there. August 30th, y'all, annual Chamber Prince Street Party, December the 4th, International Revolutionary Day, February 11th. A lot of people that you ain't never heard, gonna be getting some acknowledgement, y'all, February 11th, United Center. Stay tuned for that, February 11th. We'll keep y'all posted on that. So many things going on, moving and grooving. We'll keep y'all posted, y'all. But give me some, what time is it now? 8:22. I'm going to, let y'all see this couple right here. Let's step in real quick. So see both y'all. That's a poster right there, y'all. Real talk, that's a poster. You know, it's inspiration, y'all. Y'all know the business. Y'all keep on coming in with us every Wednesday, Free Them All Radio. What you got? What you got for us? Take us out with.
Hello. President Trump reportedly grew frustrated during immigration discussions in the Oval Office Thursday and responded with an expletive. According to the Washington Post, the president complained about the U.S. taking immigrants from African countries and Haiti. Mr. Trump asked why people from those countries were coming to America.
Coincidence or capitalism? Strange incidents or imperialism? Is it happenstance? How many white folks' faces happen to be seen as saviors? Some may call it conspiracy theory. However, logically speaking, one could just take a brief look at history. World gangsters and banksters front like they philanthropists. The same motherfuckers that's been concentrating on conquering us, play like they suddenly give a fuck about us. The Red Cross and other U.S.-controlled crime bosses, exploiting our emotions and capitalizing off our crimes. See, it's big business in banning black bodies. In other words, some motherfuckers benefit every time one of us dies. You see, the system has written the script, and it's how it's supposed to go. We kumbaya ass, the cast can dance to our damn death. While preachers, politicians, and pie pipers tell us to bow our heads and close our eyes and surrender, oh surrender, till you have another damn thing left. They shoot us, then display us as looters.
Then they break in the UN and the rest of the US friends. Blackwater forces who now go under the new name of Z, whom like a fatal disease, once they get in, it'll never plan on leaving. With friends like these, who in the fuck needs enemies? Seems like every time they fuck us, we forgive them. And when they don't kill us and just capture us, we somehow, some twisted form of fashion, thank them for letting us live. Through their policies, practices, and propaganda, they've even duped us to believe that everything that's happening bad to black folks is because some of the shit that we done did. Or even more sinister and deeper than that, they done damned and declared, as a matter of fact, that God himself been determined to do us in. Katrina ain't killed nobody, America did. For it's time that we get credit where credit is due. And for those of you that say here he comes again, blaming the government and white folks, I say goddamn if the crime fixed, lace up the motherfucking shoes. Rupert Murdoch, Fox, and the rest of them media motherfuckers who control them idiot boxes ain't nothing but another division of the pigs. Whose directive is to be sure the force feed us nothing but falsehood and hogwash. This shit's so sickening, seeing the images on how they be betraying us. They're the same ones that's coming to slay us, putting out to the world, goddamn it, they come to save us.
President Trump tonight ignoring questions as outrage grows after his vulgar insult calling African nations assholes.
Haiti, the land of my brother man and my sister woman. Now the ones that kicked Napoleon's ass. The land of sugarcane and Africans. The land in which they enslaved and votes. The ones that the International Monetary Fund left with a debt in order to keep them broke. The country in which in 1983 a despot by the name of Duvalier was validated by the Pope. The land in which machetes met the gringo's throat. And the ones that provided inspiration to the black folks throughout the globe in 1804. The ones that imperialists have never forgiven for committing the quote-unquote crime of refusing to be colonized. The land in which the women who were forced to be bedwarmers took master the bed and the grave and guaranteed, goddammit, to never again would he get up. The sons and daughters who went without water for days and days under the concrete never gave up. Some have viewed you as simply a slave stock. However, through the eyes of the colonized and international struggle for independence, you, with the minimum, have given us such a lot. Like surgical strikes, the mamas and papas I did away with. And as in the case of the Aborigines in Australia, we become forced to witness our children become open season for white folks' pickings.
President Trump reportedly grew frustrated during immigration discussions in the Oval Office Thursday and responded with an expletive. According to the Washington Post, the president complained about the U.S. taking immigrants from African countries in Haiti. Mr. Trump asked why people from those countries were coming to America.
They, and let's be perfectly clear that inclusive in they is the United States, have attempted to do you in through dope, disease, debt, and dictators. You have been boldly denied entry into this country, while you have literally seen the easy entries of your more fair-skinned neighbors. Now the same ones that produced the Papa Doc and Baby Doc, hard as it may be to believe, got their hands on some of the technologies that considers the child's play with creating earthquakes and aftershocks, guns, grenades, malaria, AIDS, and other chemical agents, and weather warfare. Now let's just name a few of the tools they done used. Nah, your mind will be blown if you get them to know the motives of those that have interest in the population control. In fact, in the spirit of modern-day slavery, they see the world as a stock market in which you are viewed as a share. Many of us couldn't even imagine the motives of these motherfuckers and their mass murderers. Like, why would the World Health Organization implement practices in order to decrease the world population? And how does China, Great Britain, America, and our allies benefit of there being tragedies and devastation? Nah, if this appears to be merely nothing but ancient history, what powers that be? Was it goddamn not too long ago that kicked in the doors and blatantly told the former president in Haiti to leave? And what system in the interest of mass murder made mass victims and had them sniffing formaldehyde in FEMA trailers that would get them in nothing more than modern-day gas chambers in New Orleans?
President Trump tonight ignoring questions as outrage grows after his vulgar insult calling African nations assholes.
In Haiti, was it coincidentally that initially the Israelis were the only entity with the ability to operate a medical facility? And who was it that deemed that across seas with the Iraqi, that a former VP by the name of Dick Cheney and his cohort from Halliburton controlled all of the contracts and had previously had ran the same racket domestically down in New Orleans. When Napoleon's brother-in-law, Leclerc, sent word to the resistance to relinquish their swords, Jean-Jacques Dessalines sent back the following words. Coup d'etat pour le quai. In other words, this is what he had to say. Up with their heads and burn their houses.
Here we go.